In Exodus chapter 3, verse 2, God appeared to Moses in a flame in the burning bush. It says, an angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in a flame. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 3, the Holy Spirit came as a flame. So he's in us. He's the one that makes us fruitful and we can multiply. He's the one that makes it happen. Because you and I know that on all our efforts, like the oldest son this morning in the story, like all our efforts, they don't come to much until God puts his hand on them, until he puts his flame. So I'm going to spread out some coloured card, and there's some felt pens here. And what I want you to do is come forward, or we can give them to you. I want you to choose. Think about that, what you just saw. And if it touched something in you, or words that you thought, words that you maybe heard in the song that touched something in you. And I'd like you to pick colours from the card. You can do more than one if you like. Pick colours from the card that represent how you felt when you watched that film, or represent what the message that you felt in it. You might have felt nothing, so you could write nothing. Whatever it was, if that didn't do anything for you, you can pass the exercise by. But if something's strong, when I watched it the first time, I found it. I was quite and I thought, something, God was waking something in me. So I think if we lay the papers out here, or out there, maybe if they're higher, yeah. And choose a colour for the word that you want to write down, and write it quite big if you can. And then we'll give a few minutes for that, and then Ian will collect them in, and we'll use these in prayer. And we'll see what the Holy Spirit is moving in us. We'll see what God is working in us as a congregation to be fruitful and multiply. Are we okay? Do we understand what I'm... If not, Ian will explain it.
Okay, if everyone just comes up, grab a card, if you want to take part in it, or if you want me to come with a colour, just shout out the colour and I'll bring the colour to you.
Just as we're closing there, you know, what really struck me was the amount of cities and countries that actually we've visited since leaving Bowness. You know, sometimes, I remember as an elder in Bowness, my district that I had, I don't know if you remember, Douglas, was down Grange Pans, it started at where the old church was. I had one or two houses right opposite where the old church used to be, and then on the main street to the shop. In Grange Pans, and I always said I never went down any night to visit someone. I'm so thankful to God. I had my area, I loved it. Cold the time I got home because they wanted to talk to me. People wanted to talk to me. And so I'm thankful, you know, as I went about Grange Pans in these years, the warmth of God was just amazing. You know, and since then, you know, as we saw in the clips there, all these different countries, I never thought when I was in Bowness that actually I would visit these countries, that actually when I was looking at these countries, I thought, I've preached in that country. I've been in a lady's house with nothing but mud on the floor, and she didn't have even a cup of tea for me, which was a disgrace for her. She had to actually get tea for us and get chairs from another villager just to have a wee meeting in her house. She was the only Christian in that village in India. The only Christian, one woman. And God took us to her door. And where did it start? It had to start from somewhere. You know, or was it that auditorium in Kiev, or just outside Kiev, where there was thousands of people, you know, or in India, where we were there on the stage with thousands of people. It doesn't matter to me. It was people. And just as I've looked through one or two of the cards, and we'll come to this in a second as we pray, but I'm sure when I looked at that, that's God's heart. When I looked at that, I was in tears then again. The people, all I saw was people. I just saw people with tears in their eyes, people with their hands in thanksgiving. The Olympics do that. We happened to be in Athens a week after the Olympics finished, and it was an amazing...
Still, atmosphere was still there after the Olympics.
So we thank you for your cards. And what I want to do now is just going to use some of the words in this in prayer and in thanksgiving and intercession. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the joyfulness, the smiles, Lord, that we saw in so many eyes. And we remember, Lord, those that we know, maybe tonight, who don't have that smile. We just thank you too, Lord, for that unpredictability, Lord, that there is with the gospel. That when you've called us to the ends of the earth, that, Father, you've called us to go there globally. And we thank you that we can stand united and pray for revival, Lord, as we look to each one of these nations, Father, tonight. Lord, we bring them before you. We bring the people of these nations, Lord. And we do pray for revival, Lord. We pray, Father, for a world that doesn't care too much. But, Father, we thank you that you've asked us to care for people. That, Lord, that we'd be able to share our faith wherever we are, Lord, in whatever nation, whether it be in Bowness, whether it be in Delhi, it doesn't matter. Lord, people, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that together, Lord, we remember, Lord, the years, Lord, where in Munich, Lord, those terrible scenes, the terrible deaths that happened, Lord, around about that. And Lord, we know the tension that there is always when thousands of people come together. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can just pray now into this coming Olympics, Lord, as they come to this nation. Lord, be with the people, Lord, that will organise the police, Lord, the organising committees, Lord. But Father, we do remember our own community of Bowness tonight. Lord, we remember those people in Grange Pans, Lord. We remember those people, Father, in other parts of this town. Lord, those that are mourning, Lord, we just join together with those tonight, Lord, that have heavy hearts, Lord, especially after the loss that we've came so much to know in this town, Lord, in this last week or two. Father, we bring the lonely to you. We bring, Father, those, Lord, who maybe don't have you in their life. But Father, I pray too that you rekindle, Father, that flame that we saw in our hearts. That, Father, we would be able to share the good news. That, Father, as one, Lord, we would be able to come together. That, Father, that fire of revival again would flow and start in each one of us. But, Father, I thank you that with joy, Lord, let us be a people, Lord, who would remember you. So, Father, as we've given these words to you, we offer them up to you with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. If it's okay, I want to keep these, and it's something to remember of this night. I've got a tear in my eye. You know, why? Because it's about people. You know, it doesn't matter where I go, there's people. And, you know, for each one of us, then we have got to pass on our hand. We've got to pass on that to people, what we have.
I'm going to read from Psalm 1. Now, I've brought all these back up because look at all the colours. I said, choose a colour that represents the feeling of the word. I found that really hard myself. When I looked at all the colours, I thought, oh, I know what I feel, but it was hard for me to pick a colour. Did anybody else find that? Yeah, it was hard, wasn't it? But we did it somehow. And look at the variety of colours. And everybody's written something different. Everybody is touched by the heart of God in some way. And that's very important to know. Some people felt joy. Some people were remembering tragedy. Some people have a real evangelistic, let's get out there and get them past the flame. All sorts of things written on here. I think we'll leave them out later and we can have a look. The variety that God puts in us is important for the diversity of the world. Diversity is a very much used word in our country, and it's sometimes used very badly. But you know, the world is very diverse, very varied. And we are as well. Masses of colours, masses of emotions, masses of experience, masses of fruitfulness already, and masses of fruitfulness to come. This isn't about the last 25, 30 years. This isn't just about that. It's important to see that. And the hundreds of years that went before, it's nothing to do really with those last 30. It's the hundreds that went before, thousands even, but hundreds of years of church standing and standing and standing. We're privileged to be involved in church new growth, especially in Albania, which is Europe, but very different place from Western Europe. And it's exciting to see fresh life. People who never ever even knew there was such a thing as a God, far less God himself, far less Jesus, springing into being fruitful and multiplying. And by golly, they can multiply. Wonderful. Let's have a look at Psalm 1. I'm going to read it back to front. I'm going to read from, put my bits of paper in. Oh, there we are. I'm going to read from verse 4 to verse 6 first, and I'll explain why in a minute. Because to be fruitful and multiply, the first place we're fruitful and multiply is in the people that are closest to us. And we pass that flame to our kids, our grandkids, our relations. You know, when I was a young zealot of a Christian, I used to talk a lot to family, friends, and now I'm not allowed to talk anymore. I just have to live the life now because they won't let me talk anymore about Jesus because they don't want to hear about Jesus that I talked about 20 years ago. And it didn't seem to bear much fruit doing it like that and being like a machine gun and telling them all these bad things that are going to happen to them if they don't do what I want them to do. So that didn't seem to bear much fruit. But what does bear fruit is the living of the life. And the more weak I became in evangelism, as it were, the more people God could bring across my path. People in my town. We've moved from place to place, but always God brings across people, especially people that seem to have lived in their town for 40 years and don't have any friends there. I don't get that. But they're on the edge. And unfortunately, the book, Psalm number 1, talks about our friends and our family and those that we love the most. And it says, the ungodly, which is verse 4, the ungodly are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And that sounds like me 25 years ago saying, yeah, this is what's going to happen to you. But if this is God's word, that's not really what he's not saying it like I said it then. But what I hear from this is, we don't want that for any of our friends, family, community, those people that we get our bread and milk from. We don't want that. And God certainly doesn't want that. And so I look at verse 1-3 and I see what God wants for my friends, for my family, for me to be fruitful and multiply, for our church to be fruitful and multiply. And what I do, and what I've found is a useful tool, and it's something, some of you will have done this many times, and maybe taught it to me, actually. But what I find tremendously useful for passing that flame is to take this Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3, and put my friend's name in there when I'm praying for them. Because I see my friend with all her problems. She's a great person, my friend. I'm going to give her the name. I'm not going to say her name, so I'm going to give her the name Louise, because she's not called that. But I'm going to give her that name. I'm going to think on my friend, who's not called Louise, but I'm going to call her Louise. And I'm going to put her into this, because this is the will of God for her life. And I'm going to pray for her, because when I pray for her, seeing the things that hurt her and hurt me and hurt her family, and then I get all mixed up with what I should be praying, and then I begin to judge her, and then I begin to think, oh, you need to do this. But when I pray the will of God for her, which is this word, then it comes out very differently. And I'll do it just now, and maybe you'll catch God's heart, my heart for Louise. And I'm sure you've got friends you can think of too. Blessed is Louise, from verse 1. Blessed is Louise when she doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, when she doesn't stand in the path of sinners, when she doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, when her delight is in the law of the Lord, and when in his law she meditates day and night. She shall be like a tree. She'll be planted by the rivers of water. It will bring forth its fruit in season. Its leaf will not wither. Whatever she does, she'll prosper. And verse 6. The Lord knows the way of Louise. And when we pray that for our friends, our heart starts to meet with God's heart for those people. And we're passing the flame in prayer. And we've seen. It's not that it's a formula and it works. We've seen that God can spark that flame. And maybe we're different the next time we meet with our friend, because we've seen the heart of God for that friend. And we can talk to them different. We can treat them different, but we've prayed differently for them. And there are umpteen psalms, there are umpteen portions in the Bible, there are umpteen letters and things in there where you can put in the names. It's not changing the Bible. Now, don't be throwing eggs at me and saying you're a heretic, you're changing the Bible. It's not that. It's just personalising it to really catch the heart of God for those people that you're praying for. Simple little tool.
In our response to Helen, I want us to take someone, think for a minute or two. Just think of someone who, at this present moment, you're praying for. And then what we're going to do is just, you do it yourself. Think of that person as you read Psalm 1 tonight. And think on that person and make this a prayer, make this your prayer, so that you're passing on something to that person tonight. Whoever their name is, you know them. God knows them too. But the most important thing is that we're becoming personal here. And as I read the psalm through, maybe if you've got your Bible, or if we can take it from the top again, starting from verse 1. As we see the words up on the screen here, you think of that person and make this person, make that the prayer tonight. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the ways of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the ways of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And maybe we've challenged someone tonight. Maybe as you read the scripture, read the Psalms. We used to do this in Bible school. We would just take the Psalms and we would just use them. Pray them out, pray the Psalms out. You know, when David wrote the Psalms, we sing them, but we can use them for prayer. We can use them in all different ways. It's the word of God that's getting spoken. It's the word of God that's inside us. Use them. You know, this week I was really challenged. And it was thinking back last year when we were in Albania. We were travelling round about with this pastor friend of ours. And he got word, maybe the day before we were due to leave, that one of his colleagues had been killed, a pastor. He knew at some point in his life the possibility was that he was going to be killed. Why? Not because he was a Christian, not because he was a pastor, but because of blood feud. And that struck me. In this day and age, that there's still blood feuds going on. Something had happened over the years, and there had been deaths in the family, and one brother had killed someone's brother, and then that brother had killed their brother, and it had been back and forward, and there had been peace for a number of years. And all of a sudden, it started, and this pastor was killed just because of a blood feud, something that couldn't be put down. And this pastor knew he didn't want protection. He didn't want to hide. He didn't want to come to another country because he knew that his place was in his own country of Albania, that he had been called by God to preach the word in his own nation, to his own people. And he was going to do that, even if it cost him his life. And sadly, it cost him his life. But I believe that from that, the church in Albania is growing. I've not heard so many reports what's happened in his own church, but I know that God looks on life. And as Helen says, that the roots that have been planted from that man's ministry would go on. And I was challenged looking at this a little, thinking about this man again. And the story in Daniel about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I've been going through this for weeks. And it was, what was it? What was it about these guys? And it's this one thing. And it's one thing I want you to take home, along with maybe many things tonight. They put God first in their life. God said to me, Ian, these three men put God first in their life. This pastor in Albania put God first in his life. Even though the furnace was turned up seven times hotter than it needed to be, And even though the guards that were that took them there were killed by the flames, as the story tells us, what happened? Now, I used to work in the brickwork in White Cross. So I know about furnaces a lot. We used to make the bricks that actually go into the blast furnaces and the steel mills all over the UK and Europe. So I think I know a little thing about furnaces. And then working in BP, we used to crack ethanol to make all the different things, and Mike knows about that. I worked with furnaces over the years. And here, three men. I used to look at the big, on the ethylene plant that I worked on down the road there in Grangemouth. And I used to look at the furnace and open the little door and have a little look in, and it was just flames, and the pipes inside of it were glowing white. And at some point, I used to have to go in there and repair them after it cooled down. And I'm thinking, three men went into that furnace. But when Nebuchadnezzar looked in, he said, I see a fourth. And when they came out, they went in with all their clothes on. When they came out, they didn't even smell of smoke. Why? They put God first in their life. Why? Because God was with them in the furnace. God was with them always. And we say, oh, I would never want to go into a furnace. I wouldn't do that. But tonight, God's saying, you have to take that flame. Take that flame with you. Dear friends, put God first in your life. If you put God first in your life, yeah, it may cost us something. Maybe it's just a little, oh, you're holy, you're Christian. I've had that all my life in my working life. So I can empathize with you. But does it mean to say that I'm going to back off? No. When I was working with the bowels of this world, did I hold back from telling these guys who had no hope, society had given up on? Did I say to them, nobody can help you now? Because I knew that if God could save me, he could save the bowels of this world. He could save that friend that we've prayed about tonight. He could use you with your torch tonight. As you look at your friend, as we've prayed for your friend tonight, as you continue through this week, then I believe God will answer your prayers. I found this quote from Mother Teresa. And this is what it says. I know God will not give me anything I can't handle. I just wish he didn't trust me so much. Mother Teresa, and we have the privilege of being in Calcutta and seeing one of Mother Teresa's homes and seeing two nuns walking down the street. And we went to them, I think, to give them a little money or something. And they didn't want that. They wanted to take us to their little compound. And I can tell you, this street where we walked on wasn't the nicest street. But when we entered through the gates of that compound, it was the Garden of Eden. We saw flowers and trees and a sanctuary that was healing the sick, and it was just pouring out God's love. In a city where it was just hopelessness everywhere. To a people that someone would say, oh well. But what were these nuns showing us? That they had put God first in their life. Mother Teresa put God first in her life. And we know the legacy that's been left there. But I just wish he didn't trust me so much. I love that. There's a heart of someone who knew what she was talking about. And tonight, you know, as we close, then I want you to think about that. You know, I was challenged. We stay in the Lake District, and Keswick's been on all week. And for 3 weeks, sorry. And I haven't managed to get so much. Helen's been there quite a lot. But I was challenged the other night there. And it was this. What have we been doing while Jesus has been away? What have we been doing We're talking about the second coming. This man, Rob Parsons, was talking about the second coming. But what are we doing? Well, Jesus, before he comes back, have we got that torch in our hand tonight? And I believe we all have. Amen? I'm not the only one. But I believe that. You take what you've got tonight. You take that to your work. You take that to your family. You take that wherever you go. Pray to God tomorrow morning when you get up. Say, God, give me someone today. Give me someone to speak to today about you. Try it. You know, we used to do it in Dumfries when we stayed there. You know, Helen would say to me, you'll never believe who I bumped into the day. I was just walking up the street and I got talking to this person. Someone she didn't even know. I've done it. But just ask God, God, put someone in front of me so I can pass that flame on today. Because why? I'm putting you first in my life. Yes, I may have my work. I may have this. I may have this little problem myself. But I'll tell you something. I went through the rehabilitation centre that I went in, that I was working in, I was managing, went through a tough stage. And I went through a tough stage in my life. Nearly to the point of depression. It was the worst period of my life. But I'll tell you something. I could not deny what God had done through my team of men who helped the bills of this world. I couldn't. And that's what kept me going. That's what kept me. And that's what will keep me going to the ends of the earth. It's not going to stop me. We started here in Bowness, and I'm so thankful to God that our path, our roots are in this place, this very place here. But I'll tell you, September this year, we're going to China for the first time. We got an email today from our pastor friends. You're welcome. I'm putting God first. I don't know where God's going to take me next. But I'll tell you something. We're going to take that flame this year. Where are you taking your flame? That's my challenge tonight as we leave. And I believe it doesn't need to be to China. You can come with me. Douglas came to Romania and Ian McMillan came to Romania. I was a crazy man. You had to be crazy in Romania when you went out there, I'll tell you. But I'll tell you something. We left something in Romania that is still growing, Douglas. We have still contact with the people that we worked with all these years ago. And I know that that church in Romania will never forget what happened all these years ago. Why? I'm putting God first in my life. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for who you are in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that we want to declare tonight we're putting you first. That we're running the race with perseverance, Lord. We're not going to give up. But Father, I know that as we do this, then we want to honour you. In Jesus' name, amen.